Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad once again to meet with you on this program, and we're upholding the Word of God. That is the purpose of this program, that God has given us His Word, and He's promised to keep it, promised to preserve it, and give it to us perfect. And so we're glad that you tune in today. I want to start by reading in 2 Peter chapter 20 and verse 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And today we're going to talk about one of the holy men of God that was used of God to win a whole country to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that everyone was saved, but the country went from paganism to Christianity, and God used this individual in a tremendous way. And this individual was using the true text of the Bible. Now, there's the corrupt text that's called the Alexandrian, which is a handful of corrupt manuscripts that disagree with each other constantly, because everybody that got their hands on it seems like changed it to what they thought God should say. And then there is the over 99% that is part of the received text that has come down to us and is found in our authorized King James Bible. And so we're going to talk about an individual today that had the right text. Now, the Bible, first of all, was translated into the Old Latin. It was called the Italic text, and it is the one of the basis of the authorized King James Bible. And then it went from the Koine Greek. It was also translated to the Syriac Peshitta, and that is also a basis of the King James Bible. It's Koine Greek, made up of over 99%. The Greek manuscripts. It's the Old Latin Italic text and the Syriac Peshitta. This is the primary basis of our authorized King James Bible. And they call that today the Textus Receptus, or the received text, or the Antiochian text. All of these are names for the same thing. It originated in Antioch, which was the great missionary church that sent out the missionaries. And then, of course, the corrupt text is the Alexandrian, which is the basis of the corrupt counterfeit Bibles like the New ASV, the RSV, the ASV, the New International Version, that leaves out the names, and these leave out the names of the Lord Jesus Christ in 100 places. And by the way, if you would like a copy of this, we have the 100 places, and we have it on a paper, and you can... We will send this to you, and you can call in the station anytime during the program, and we will send this to you, and we have the exact references where it's taken out, so you don't have to take my word for it. And I think that on this issue, you ought to investigate, because the Bible is connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the foundation of everything that we believe. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And we found in the book of Psalms, chapter 12, and verse 6 and 7, God says the words of the Lord are pure words. They're not mixed with corrupt words, but they're pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so people that don't like this teaching, they have changed this in the modern versions, but all the older versions and older commentaries quote it like the authorized King James. And it says that God himself would preserve it. And of course, if God can keep the stars moving within a fraction of a second, he can certainly have the power to keep his words. And so he has kept them, and today we have them in our King James Bible because it's based on the Syriac Peshitta text. It's based on the Koine Greek text of over 99% of the Greek manuscripts, and it's based on the Italic text. Now, we're going to talk about an individual that was responsible for spreading the true word of God. This individual, when he was 16 years old, he was standing by the seashore one day, and a group of pirates came up, and they kidnapped him and kidnapped both of his sisters. And they took him to the country of Ireland. And when they took him there, they took him to an auction block and sold him to a guy named Milchew, who is also a king in Ireland. And so for the next 6 years or 7 years, he was given the job as a slave of feeding pigs. And it reminds you of the story of the prodigal son. Now, this person's name was Patrick, also known as St. Patrick of Ireland. And so he was there while he was feeding the pigs. He remembered what he was taught in church. He didn't pay much attention to it. And sometimes as young people, they're listening, they hear, but they haven't paid attention. Some don't pay attention, like Patrick. And so now he is separated from his father, from his mother, and from his family and from his sisters. And he is out alone on the mountains in cold and rain and winter time, and he is out there feeding pigs and taking care of pigs. And during this time, he began to pray and to call on the Lord. And we have his testimony in which he writes, and today you can read his writings. And he said that while he was out there, he began to think about God, began to pray to the Lord, and then he was saved. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he gives this testimony, how he came to faith in Christ. Well, after 7 years, he believed that God spoke to him and told him how to escape from his master. And so he was directed, and the Lord helped him to find his way to the seashore, and he had to travel about 200 miles. And he got on a ship, and he was hired to take care of dogs on the ship. And so the ship went from Ireland to France, and he stayed in France for a period of time, and finally he went back to Wales where his parents were, and he once again met with his family. He studied the Word of God and so on, and when he was 45 years old, he felt a strong pull by the Lord to go back to Ireland. And so he prepared himself, and he went back to Ireland in the year 432 at 45 years of age. And, you know, we could take out of that, you may be older, but you can still serve the Lord. And I think that when God is ready for you to, your job is done, then he'll take you home. But we ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ all of our life until the Lord takes us. And we'll know that our job is finished when the Lord takes us to heaven. God has put us here to testify of Christ. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we're to let people know that we're Christians. We're to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, do good works. Have our eyes open how we can help people emotionally, physically, any way that we can, financially, and then tell them about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so God had been preparing Patrick, and so Patrick finally goes back to Ireland. And when he gets there, he starts out and he lands, and when he lands, he goes to he starts preaching, and immediately Satan stirs up a crowd, and he is hit with rocks, and his party is hit with rocks, and they suffer some physical damage at this point. But it is not long till one of the Irish chiefs becomes a Christian, accepts Jesus Christ, and gives him a barn, and so they began to meet in this barn. And I want to say that Patrick, before his life was over, he states in his own writings that he baptized 120,000 adults. He never mentions baptizing babies. And then he started 360 churches. Do you know, the idea of a church is not a man-made idea. Jesus Christ said he would build his church, and Jesus is to be the head of it, and it's mentioned 115 times in the New Testament. If you're a Christian, I'll guarantee you one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and God want you to become a part of a church. The Bible says they that gladly received the word were baptized and added unto them. They became part of a local church. And actually, the word church means a local assembly of believers. Paul, it says, when he went to Jerusalem, he immediately joined himself unto them. And so if you follow the Lord, you don't wait around for months or years till you join a church, but you find a church where Jesus is the head, and they teach and use the King James Bible, and you join it and you support it. Now, I know that you're going to be offended, and you sooner or later, and if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to pay attention to that offense. People drop out of church because somebody offends them. Well, big deal. Anywhere you go, somebody's going to offend you. But if you love Jesus Christ the way you ought to, you will become a part of a church. And you will go there and you won't cause trouble, but you'll be a blessing and you'll be a help to them. It is what God wants you to do. And half the New Testament is written to churches, to local churches. And you should find a Bible-believing church. That's a church that goes by the King James Bible, which was handed down to us. And it comes from the text given to us by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, Patrick goes, and after he's been there a short while, he immediately starts winning people to Christ. And he decides to go to his former master, who was a king in Ireland. The guy's name was Milchu. And so he comes to witness to his master, but before he gets there, his master, for some reason, becomes so terrified of seeing Patrick that he goes into his own house and burns his house down on his own head. And so he burns himself alive and all of his property. And so Patrick keeps right on going and starting to witness. Well, Patrick had a lot of courage, and so God had given him courage. You know, one of the things where the Bible talks about the power of the Holy Spirit is, and it's such a simple thing, but it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And the Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So what he's saying is, if you start witnessing for Christ, the power of God will follow you. By witnessing for Christ. And a person that is committed to this, are workers together with God. Imagine that, working with the Lord. And so the Lord will work in your life, and he will help you and work miracles in your life as you continually witness for Jesus Christ. And so he will give you courage and power and so on. So Patrick goes, and many of the children of the chiefs become Christians, and so he takes a team with him, and he begins to train people immediately. And you know, when missionaries go out there, after they get people saved, then they baptize them like Patrick did, then they're to immediately begin to train the people of the country where they're going to be leaders. And so Patrick immediately does this. And he realizes that if he could reach the top king of Ireland, that he could be more effective and have a greater open door. And so they were having a great celebration in Ireland on a special day. And the king had said at that time that no one should light a fire on that holiday. And so the chiefs of Ireland were gathered there together. And the king had made this rule so strong. He says, anybody that starts a fire will be put to death. So as the great crowd of Irish had gathered together and the kings and the chiefs were there, Patrick went to a nearby hill, and he had tried to contact this king, but the king wouldn't let him talk to him. And so Patrick goes to a nearby hill, and he starts a huge fire. And all the Irish that were gathered together, they look up on the hill, and they see the fire. And so the king sends up men to arrest Patrick, and they bring him down. And so Patrick gets to talk to the king. And he could have lost his life at this point. But instead, he witnesses to the king about Jesus Christ, and a number of people get saved, and the king allows him to go. But at this point, much of Ireland hears about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, finally, as we said, when Patrick finally died in the year about 460, at that time, he had baptized 120,000 adults. He never mentions anything about the Pope or about Mary worship, or he never mentions about baptizing infants. And he had started these churches. Well, we're going to finish this and tell the effect of Patrick's ministry, but we'll take a short break and then get back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
If you would like to have one of the papers, the 100 places Jesus is kicked out of his own Bible, in the New American Standard Version, or the NIV, or RSV, or whatever, you could call us now. Our number is 901-0933, 901-0933. And the long distance is toll-free. It's 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And then the local number, once again, it is 901-0933. And the engineer is just waiting, and he will copy it down, and I will send this out to you. Now, you can also email it when the announcer calls. Now, we said that, the translation of the King James is based on certain things as well as the modern versions. And so it is based on the received text. And the received text, as we've said already, and we'll repeat it because sometimes you remember, is based on the Koine Greek text of over 99% of the Greek manuscripts. And also it is based on a translation called the Syriac Peshitta. And then it is also based on the italic text of the Old Latin. Now, Patrick used the italic text of the Old Latin. And actually, the modern versions agree with the Vulgate of Jerome. Jerome didn't die until about the year 420, and his translation, which is the Alexandrian manuscripts, was not accepted by the Roman Catholic Church until 800, and so he would have used the Old Latin text translated from the Koine Greek, which is a basis of the King James. In other words, he'd have had the King James in the Old Latin language that he used when he preached to the Irish. And that is an important thing. I just got that today as I was studying for this, and it states this that in the Dictionary of Christian Biographies. And but I knew it from a number of other sources also. And by the way, if you would like to have books that will go into more detail in the King James, most evangelical colleges, the Greek departments, are teaching a counterfeit Bible. But yet there are people in most of these colleges have graduated, been highly educated, that have demonstrated that the received text of the King James is the proper text. Now, when Patrick died, the Irish Church, which was Bible-believing churches, sent out missionaries all over Europe. And for instance, they sent out a man named Columba who went to the island of Iona. And from there, he trained many missionaries. They then went to Scotland, and he went to Scotland. And then they went down into England. And somebody says, well, why is Patrick identified with the Catholic Church? Well, in the year 664, after the Roman Church had sent out armies, they were, with the help of a king of England, able to take over England. And I mean, when I say take it over, politically and religiously. And so at that time, the Irish missionaries had sent and founded many churches in England. And so to get these churches into the Roman church, they made a saint out of Patrick. And that is when he actually was identified with the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Whitby in 664. But I'm saying later on, when the King James Bible was translated, one of the texts that they leaned on and used was the old italic, old Latin text that Patrick had used when he went to Ireland as a missionary. And God said he would preserve his words. And so we're talking about some of the men that God used to preserve his words. And that is the text in the Bible that Patrick used. You say, how do you know that? Well, they have these ancient manuscripts in museums all over the world, and Christians have studied these manuscripts. And I have one book that goes in, they show copies of this and so on, of these manuscripts, and they line up with the King James Bible. And you say, why do you talk about it? Well, I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, because the words of the Bible are incredibly important. And so that's why we have this program. People today are correcting the King James Bible. Well, the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. We're not to trust in mankind. I would say, check me out. I'll be willing to answer any question or come to your church or speak in a college. I've spoken in a number of colleges on this subject, or debate anybody on this subject. And so all I'm getting at is this: in thy word do I trust. Jesus taught, his words were perfect. He never corrected the copies that he had. And we are to trust in God's word. And I don't believe in people correcting it. God has given it to us. He's preserved it. You know, one of the ways you know it is that the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And the true text goes on, and it's in the Authorized King James Bible. 200 translations have come out. They come and they go. But this one continues on. Why? Well, one of the reasons is the Holy Spirit witnesses to it. And in a recent survey, people that read the Bible every day are reading the King James Bible 5-1 over all the other modern translations. And it's the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, he will abide with you forever, and he will guide you into all truth. And so you need to have a Bible that you can trust. Go to a church that supports the true word of God. You pray for us, and God bless you. Thank God we have his word today. Praise the Lord. You have a good day, and God go with you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.